This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
يا ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا
ليلة القدر يا فضل بارنا خير من الدهر بالعفو تاتنا.
Nothing like technical difficulties. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. We'll get started. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah ta'ala. So, let's just get إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدني علما آمين. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most magnificent, all praise is due to Allah, Lord of the universe. We praise Him and we seek His help and His forgiveness, and we seek His protection from that cursed Satan. Whomever Allah guides will never be misguided, and whomever He allows to be misguided will never be guided. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is one, alone, and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and messenger. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, his companions, and the righteous who follow them until the day of judgment. Ameen. I would like to start off by saying Ramadan Mubarak to all of you beautiful sisters out there listening and who have tuned in to this great day. So I'd like to say Ramadan Mubarak, and I'm glad to be at Sisters of Sunnah again. I'd like to do more of these talks, but timing does prevent me from doing a lot of stuff, you know, having kids, mashallah, studying and other stuff to do. It gets challenging. So as much as I love work, you know, being on this platform and helping out, it gets crazy busy, so I don't have as much time. But inshallah, hopefully in the future we could do more. Just bear with me as time progresses. Make dua, Allah puts mubarak in our time. And so with that being said tonight, I wanted to let you know really quick that I'm here really tonight doing this talk for a very selfish reason. And the reason I'm really doing this talk for and why I wanted to do it in the first place was so that I could plan my 10 days of Ramadan, my last 10 days as well, inshallah. I technically usually do it, but while, you know, when you're preparing for a talk and when you're doing research and when you're looking things up, what happens is you yourself are learning much more. And so when I want to do talks, a lot of times it pushes me to research and look at things that I really want to learn about and have been putting off for a while. And so the talk itself, it motivates and inspires me. So I am being a little selfish because I am doing this for myself as well as my own family and then all of you as well. So bear with me as I'm doing this tonight, and know that this topic is a really beautiful topic and I can't do it justice with 30 minutes. So it's a very beautiful topic and a lot more could be said about it. And I would definitely recommend listening to other scholars and sheikh talk about this because I am a student of knowledge, and I'm going to tell you guys from my perspective, which is the inspiring and motivating perspective, inshallah. Inshallah. So with that being said, we're going to get started. And if you guys have any questions, honestly, I was telling the sister, I probably will not have time to take much questions. So if you have any questions, I might stick around for about 5 minutes. Beyond that, I'm going to have to leave. You know, please, unless it's really important, a really good question, ask. Other than that, inshallah, you know, don't like waste everyone's time, inshallah, this way. So we can just focus to it and just get it done, inshallah, inshallah. All right, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We'll get started, inshallah. And I want to start off with the ayat of the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, and it's described in the Quran as better than 1,000 months. And this is in chapter number 97, verse number 3. It's better than 1,000 months. My dear sisters, I want you to think about this. SubhanAllah, what does it mean to be better than 1,000 months? It's better than 83 years of our life. 83 years. Now, I want you guys all to think about how old you are right now. From the youngest to the oldest. I'm thinking that none of us will probably live 83 more years, you know, depending on how old we are, even with technology, the youngest being 12, 13 years old, 83 years is a long time. So knowing that, that should really give us a lot of hope and inspiration that this, like Eliza Wajal, is giving us so much barakah by giving us this one night that's going to be better than 83 years. I mean, what is the sacrifice to that mean, right? What is the investment, actually, to that mean? So this means that for us, we need to work hard in these last 10 nights, inshallah, in order to observe Laylatul Qadr. Because two reasons. One, it's obviously better than 83 years, mashallah, and we don't even know if we'll live another 83 years. And two is to think about, what if we are not here next Ramadan? What if we're not here next Ramadan? Right? And I'll go into that in a little bit, explaining that. But let's talk about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to exert himself in devotion during the last 10 nights to a greater extent than any other time. And this is in the Book of Muslim. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make itikaf, which means he's to sleep in the masjid for the last 10 nights. My dear sisters, this is called dedication. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was our example teaching us this. You know, now while all of us sisters might not have the chance to sleep at the masjid because, you know, we've got our kids and all these other duties and responsibilities, we sure could do a lot more ibadah from our own homes, inshallah. I know I don't have the luxury or opportunity to sleep at the masjid, but I do highly, you know, recommend my husband to do it, and I support him. And I highly recommend for all of the sisters out there to support your husbands and recommend it to them and let them go and experience this. And you, at the same time, experience it from your own home, inshallah, to the best of your ability. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet ﷺ said, look for Laylatul Qadr on an odd-numbered night during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And this is in the Book of Bukhari. So we have to be searching for it on the odd numbers, which is most likely one of those 5 nights. So again, subhanAllah, it's starting to look like, oh, subhanAllah, you know, it's 10 nights of worship, but the odd numbers, we should worship more. But I mean, I recommend all 10 nights, you know, personally, to do the most you can and listen to the most you can. Do your dhikr, your du'as, salah, anything you can, reciting Quran, listening to Quran with the meaning. And, you know, the best part of this hadith, you know, the next hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, told us that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever prays during the night of Laylatul Qadr with faith and hope that its reward is with hope from Allah Azza wa Jalla, that its the reward will be having all of their previous sins forgiven, then inshallah that will happen for them. But here's the thing is that, you know, we have to remember that we have to stay awake and we have to be, you know, fully loaded and doing ibadah, not staying awake watching movies, talking, doing a majlis, you know, on the phone, chatting with friends. No, we want to be staying awake to doing ibadah, which is dhikr, reciting Quran, listening to Quran, listen to lectures. I mean, anything where we're learning, observing, remembering Allah and asking for forgiveness and, you know, getting closer to Him, inshallah. And, you know, the beautiful part of this is the part when we think of out of faith and in hope of earning the reward. Out of faith and in hope of earning. Which means that we must, my dear sisters, we must believe in Allah's promise of reward for this. That Allah has promised us this. And so we must believe in that and we have to seek for that reward. With no other aim or purpose in our mind. We cannot be thinking we're doing this so tomorrow morning we can say, hey, guess what? I stayed up all 10 nights and we're showing off to our friends or family or our kids or anything. We're not doing it for that. We're doing it simply and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise. And we're looking for the reward from Him. And so if we're doing that, we'll have to make sure that our intention, our niyyah, is only for Allah. And Allah will know. Right? He will know what our intention, our niyyah is for. So we have to make sure of that. So with that being said, let's start by saying, how are we going to do this, inshallah? How are we going to observe Laylatul Qadr, inshallah? How are each one of us going to do, inshallah? And I'd say the first thing each one of us needs to do is to take some time off of work, including housework and everything else that's on our plates. We need to put everything else aside for these next 10 nights, inshallah ta'ala, when it's the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And we need to focus on only Allah Azza wa Jal. If you can, even your schoolwork. I mean, literally, I'll tell you this, I would literally talk to my teachers and say that these 10 nights are so important to me, so please let me turn in my papers or take my exams after this time frame, unless it's Islamic classes. And if you do this early in your semesters, then you can do this. The teachers are kind and they'll work around with you. I know that during Ramadan, subhanAllah, when I would have finals or exams and my sister and I, we would be in the same class. And it would be like a class of 400 students. And it would be right then exam time. And I would tell my teacher, look, at 7:30, exams start at 7. And I said, look, at 7:30, we're going to leave the exam room. We're going to break our fast because we're fasting. We're going to pray. And then when we're done, we're going to come back and we're going to take our exam. And you can have someone monitor us if you want. I would say this to my teachers. And my, you know, honestly, subhanAllah, I never had a teacher say no. And they would never even send a monitor with us. And me and my sister were in the same class, so it could have totally been cheating. But obviously, that wasn't our intention. And so we'd walk out, we'd go do our prayer, we'd, you know, do our thought and then do our prayer and then come back in. And so I want you to know that people are flexible if you explain to them and you let them know, and with kindness and gentleness, as always, you know, the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. But beyond that, you shouldn't be worried about cooking so much. You shouldn't be worried about all these other things. I want you to be able to take a good power nap during the day so that you're powered up for the evenings. You're powered up for the evenings and that you're able to stay up longer and to remember Allah, read the tafsir books, anything, read the Sahaba books, read the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, and just saying Alhamdulillah, SubhanAllah, as we're learning and we're remembering Allah and we're asking Him for forgiveness. And so if you can, if possible, and if you're working outside, try to work half days. I mean, all year long, we should be preparing for Ramadan, subhanAllah, by asking our bosses to have the last 10 days off if you can. If you can't have it off, work half days and stay up at nighttime and sleep like a couple hours during the day and then work in the evening half days until, again, you work your schedule that way for the next 10 days. And my dear sisters, please do this for yourself. Take the time out and focus more on Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, this is the time we all need to get closer to our Lord. You know, I tell you, I cannot ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua for him, to him to do something for me when I know that I've disobeyed him. When each one of us knows that we've done something wrong and we've disobeyed our Lord, how hard is it to ask him to do something for us? It's like a child to its parents, right? A child, you know, goes and is, the parent says, honey, can you do this? Honey, can you do this? And the child's like, no. And they're being rude and disrespectful. Do you think that child in 5 minutes from now can go to the parent and say, mommy, can you please do this for me? How will the mother feel? That child is almost ashamed and embarrassed to ask his or her parents because he knows he was doing something wrong. And so to me, I feel the same way. If we are doing something wrong, then how can we ask Allah? How can we ask our Lord for forgiveness, for mercy, for change? How? So in order for this to happen, you guys need to start with, these last 10 nights need to start with change. Let go, don't listen to music. Don't watch your movies. Don't watch the garbage that's out there. Don't read garbage newspapers or garbage magazines. Don't be around people who are cursing and who are disrespectful and rude. Change yourself these last 10 nights, my dear sisters. Change yourself. Because if you want Allah's mercy and you want Him to forgive you for all of your past sins and you want Him to accept this and for over 83 years of your life, this month, this night is better than 83 years of your life, then you need to start with some change inside of you. And that change starts now, my dear sisters, now. So what does the phrase staying up at night mean? What does this mean to us? The Prophet ﷺ would stay up some of the night. He'd do his dhikr, his dua, his Quran, and then pray. And then he would take probably a nap and wake back up again. He would be going on and off. Now, not only did he do that, what else did he do, my dear sister? He would wake up his entire family, his wives, to pray Qiyam with him. So what does that mean? That means that each one of us should be waking up our husbands, should be waking up our kids, you know, and getting everyone involved and having them be part of this. I mean, for me, inshallah, this year, one of the things I like to do is, if Allah wills, is I would like to have it where I can, you know, everyone can be waking up on and off and staying up and then just taking a short nap and waking back up. And this includes my kids, mashallah. I want them to, this to be part of their life, to be up and doing dhikr and praying extra, and then saying, okay, let's take a 3-hour, 2-hour nap, and then we'll wake back up and continue doing this. You know, and this is what it means, you know, to motivate yourself. And of course, I don't expect my kids to be up all night, but I'm saying whatever they could do, subhanAllah, I will support them. And kids love to stay up when there's stuff like fun stuff to do, right? So make this fun. Make, you know, different things to do. Like, I mean, one of the things I would love to do with my kids is do the Quran challenge, the junior Quran challenge. They get to play even the games, but it's all about the Quran, inshallah. They get to learn, and we're all answering questions, inshallah. And so think about that. I want you to think about that. How can you make this not only productive for yourself, but get your family involved and also make it enjoyable for everyone? And so this is something really, really enjoyable for us. And so, you know, I'm going to take you to the next point, inshallah. I'm going to take you to the next point is what you should have ready for these last 10 nights, and you should actually have this ready as soon as possible, is I want you to make a dua list. I want you to make a dua list and ask Allah Azza wa Jal every single thing that you want from Him. Whatever you want from Him, I want you to ask Him, inshallah. And I want you to say, Ya Rabbi, you know, if it's not just, I mean, forgiveness, but Ya Rabbi, please give me patience. Give me perseverance. Help me get through this trial that I'm facing right now. Ya Rabbi, please help my husband be more patient with me. Ya Rabbi, please raise my children. Help me raise my children to be righteous Muslims. Whatever it is that you want from Allah Azza wa Jal, ask Him. And by making a dua list, you're pouring your heart out to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. You're writing everything you want. Because what happens when we start writing, we have so much more to say. We have so many more details. And that's why I want you to type it up, write it out, have it ready for yourself, inshallah, and ask Allah what you want. And ask Allah not just for yourself, but for your family, for your parents, for your sisters and your brothers, and for everyone, including the Ummah of Islam. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal. And especially, I want you to include this dua. I want you to include this dua. When Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, if I know what night is the night of Al-Qadr, what should I say during it? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, O Allah, you are the most forgiving and you love to forgive, so please forgive me. Say, O Allah, you are the most forgiving and you love to forgive, so please forgive me. So here's the thing, we should have these words written out and every few seconds looking at them and asking Allah, because we don't know which night it'll be, but continuously say this and ask Allah, and ask Him during the day and at night, ask Him as often as you can, you know. And that leads to the next point, which is when is the best time to make dua? My dear sisters, when is the best time to make dua? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the last one-third of the night remains, our Lord, the Glorious, the One, He descends down towards the heavens of the earth and proclaims, who is that who supplicates to me? And I grant his supplication. Who is that who begs for me, who begs me for anything? And I grant it to him. And who is that who seeks my forgiveness? And I forgive him. And this is in the Book of Muslim and Bukhari. So knowing that this is the best time to make dua, my dear sisters, wake up a few minutes before suhoor and pray 2 rakats and make dua to your Lord. Wake up before suhoor and pray 2 rakats, and then sit there and make dua to your Lord and ask Him, because you're praying for Him and you're asking Him. And while we know this, you know, we all know that the dua is a weapon of a believer. It is not guns and, you know, tanks and nuclear weapons. It is dua. It is simply supplication that is the weapon of a believer. Supplication. And why is this? Why is this? Because Allah Azza wa Jal is there to answer our duas. He's told us to supplicate to Him. He's told us to ask Him and He will give us, inshallah. Right? Ask Him and He will give us, inshallah. But here's the second part to dua. Now, while dua is the weapon of the believers, and we should constantly be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should also remember as a believer that we need to do our part. What is our part? In the Quran, in chapter number 8, verse 53, it says, that is so because Allah will never change a grace which He has bestowed on a people until they change what is in their own selves. And verily, Allah is the all-hearer, the all-knower. So Allah is telling us, you have to do your part. You have to try. We have to try to change ourselves and then ask Allah to help us. We cannot sit there and say, Ya Rabbi, give me patience where we ourselves do nothing about it. Or say, Ya Rabbi, help me stay awake while we ourselves do nothing about it. Like taking a power nap earlier, eating some healthy fruits and vegetables, and doing other stuff. While we're asking Allah to help us, what are we doing to help ourselves at the same time? I'm praying that this makes sense to all of you guys, inshallah. And to remember this, that sometimes I will have sisters making these dua lists, mashallah. And these dua lists are like, you know, I mean, they're long, mashallah. And this is exactly what it should be, long. But each dua that you're making, are you thinking about how you can also interact with that? And so first we must ask Allah to give us those things, whatever we want from Him. And second, we have to think about what actions we need to do, what actions we need to make to help those duas also come true and work on them. And the third thing, we actually, yes, my sisters, I'm going to actually ask all of you to do is develop a plan and try to achieve the things that you're asking Allah for. What is your plan? What is your plan? You're saying, Ya Rabbi, give me Jannat al-Firdaus. That is a great dua and we should all ask for it. But what is our plan? What are we doing to try to earn Jannat al-Firdaus from Allah Azza wa Jal? What are we doing? What are we doing to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we want it that bad? So we have to have a plan for whatever it is we're asking Allah for. So with that being said, so the first thing was duas. Write your dua list. Think about how we're going to work on it and work on a plan to make it come true. The next thing we need to do is every single evening that you're awake for these last 10 nights, and we should be doing this the entire month of Ramadan, but I'm focusing on these last 10 nights. Every single evening, you should be reciting as much Quran as you know. Any surahs that you know that you've learned, recite them. Any ones you don't know, listen to them being recited by the sheikh. And QuranExplorer.com has obviously, mashallah, beautiful sheikhs reciting. Go to QuranExplorer.com and listen to the sheikhs recite it and then read the meaning as they're reciting it, mashallah. You know, reflect on the meaning. And then think deeply about their meaning and how it affects your personal life right there. How is it affecting your life? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you? How is this related to you at this point of your life? Believe me, my dear sisters, as I'm reading the meaning of the surahs, and many a time I feel like Allah is telling it to me directly. It's my situation and He's telling me, Zuhra, you're doing this wrong. Or Zuhra, you need to do this right. Or Zuhra, focus on this. And subhanAllah, this is exactly what I think Allah's talking to me, subhanAllah. And then I reflect on, okay, how can I implement that in my life? How can I implement that in my life? So I want you guys to really, really think about it like that, inshallah. Okay, with that being said, I want you guys to also think that this might be our last chance in getting our sins deleted. None of us is promised tomorrow, my dear sisters. April 9th, 2011, my brother-in-law and his 9-year-old daughter were killed by a car hitting their bikes. They're riding their bikes Saturday morning, going back home. They're about a block away from home, a block away from on the sidewalk. Everything's fine, and a car comes on the sidewalk and hits them and kills my brother-in-law and his 9-year-old daughter. His 12-year-old daughter, still, who is with them, is alive, alhamdulillah. To Allah we belong and to Allah we return. And it was the qadr of Allah that he and his 9-year-old daughter died that morning, the way that they did. It was the qadr of Allah. It was already decreed for them. And may Allah forgive them and give them Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen. But my question to you, my dear sisters, is, do you think the next time you get in your car, or you walk to the park, or you're doing anything, do you think that that's your last moment? Do you think right now as we're sitting here, do you think about this? Do you think that he thought, that my brother-in-law thought, that last Ramadan could have been his last Ramadan? Do you think that he thought that? I don't think so. I don't think so. We hardly think that this might be our last Ramadan. We think, okay, this is Ramadan, mashallah, and let's do it. But we think we're going to make next Ramadan better than this one, inshallah. We don't think that this might be our last chance. SubhanAllah. This is how quick death comes to each one of us, my dear sisters. Do not let this opportunity pass you by, my dear sisters, where your sins could be deleted, all of them, inshallah, and where you may not live for another Ramadan. Don't let this up. It's an opportunity, my dear sisters. It's an opportunity. I mean, opportunities comes once in a lifetime, right? We hear it all the time. And if this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, I ask you all to reflect on this and to take it seriously and to make these last 10 nights of those that will bring benefit, inshallah. And ask Allah for help. And ask Allah for help. And ask Allah for help through it. SubhanAllah. With that being said, let's move on to what Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's do that again. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever stands in prayer in Laylatul Qadr while nourishing his faith with self-evaluation, expecting reward from Allah, will have his previous sins forgiven. And this is in the book of Bukhari and Muslim. Look at how he said self-evaluation. That means we reflect on our own sins. We reflect on our own wrongdoings. We reflect on everything. I mean, we are all full of mistake and full of sins, all of us. And we need to reflect on it and evaluate ourselves and see how we want to change ourselves and then ask Allah for His help and expect that Allah will help us, inshallah. Regardless of how bad, how many sins we've committed that were horrible, regardless of how bad our past is, evaluate yourself. Admit it. Ask for forgiveness and expect that Allah will reward you, inshallah. And so, make a list of things, my dear sisters. Make a list of things that you will do these last 10 nights, inshallah, so that you may avoid wasting time on the phone, on the internet, on chatting, and everything else. Make a list of things. You know, write down, I will read Quran for 30 minutes at this time, inshallah. Then I'll read some of the seerah of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then I'll listen to this lecture about the last 10 nights, inshallah. Then I'll do some dhikr. And then I'll do this. Reflect. Change things. Have another sister or your own children, family involved in it so that you guys can do it together. And then also, if you can, if you know long surahs, read them during your salah. And if you do not know what they mean, read their meanings beforehand. So this way you can focus on your salah. And subhanAllah, take out, like honestly, mashallah, the kids are learning longer surahs, have them recite it. This is the best time. This is the best time to take out your Quran and to read your surahs and to do that. My next point, my dear sisters, is that we must be kind to everyone, especially to our parents, our kids, our siblings, our family, friends, and our community. We must. Sometimes we get so caught up in the moment that we want to do so many things that we forget to be gentle and kind and respectful, that we forget to be courteous. And you have to remember that the small act of kindness is better than a big act of worship. What good is all this worship if we cannot be kind and gentle and respectful to one another? I mean, every single one of us is probably guilty for this. We need to slow down and have that best character first and then add on the good deeds. If we cannot do the little things, my dear sister, then what good is our big ones going to do? So we need to, as you're going through these last 10 nights, inshallah, remember, be kind, be gentle, stop, slow down. It's okay if you don't finish the entire juz and you finish half, but because you were there and you were being kind and gentle and taking the time out to do that. So slow down and reflect on that. And obviously, the last point I want to go to right now is the point that I just touched on a little earlier, is to evaluate yourself. Ask yourself the questions that you need to ask yourself. Do an evaluation of where you are and where you're going. Let this evaluation that you have of yourself, let this evaluation of your past be for repentance and forgiveness, and for your future to be happiness and enjoyment and contentment. And it is the future that is going to be the one that we're going to work on, and sincerely, being sincere in how we're asking Allah for forgiveness and the dua, and what are we doing to make work on it. After you've done this evaluation, like I said earlier, you need to make that plan and remain with that plan throughout the entire year, inshallah. What changes will you constantly work on, inshallah? And they don't have to be big changes, my dear sisters. They could be small changes such as, I will not lie anymore. I will not backbite anymore. I will not yell anymore. These are all, they seem like large changes to us, and which they are, but really they're smaller changes, inshallah. And we need to work on them. And so you constantly need to do this for yourself and for the entire year, and maybe have a chart of every month and reflect on the end of the month how are you? Where are you? Like, let's just say you started off with your 2, 2, 2, 2, and then you go the next month, oh, mashallah, I did better this month. I made it to 3. And then in a few months, oh, alhamdulillah, now I'm a 5. Reflect on it. Monitor it and chart yourself, inshallah. And I'll end it with, you know, if we continue the rest of the year with the way we've committed ourselves in Ramadan, then we know that inshallah, Allah will help us and accept our fast and our good deeds, inshallah. Because Ramadan is not just merely from abstaining from food and evil for this one month. It is to train ourselves, my dear sister, to train ourselves, to better ourselves in every single way for the entire year, inshallah. For the entire year, inshallah. Okay, and so we should strive to continue to be good, to have Ramadan throughout the entire year. And I'll end with a story, inshallah. It said a man came home to his poor wife, and he said, "Assalamu alaikum, honey. You'll never believe what happened to me today. I just made the best decision for our future, inshallah. I invested the last $1,000 we had, and I bought a gold bar." She said, "What? What are you doing with a gold bar?" He said, "Well, in the future, it'll be worth a lot of money, inshallah." She said, "How do we even know how long we will live? You spent all we had on a gold bar. Subhanallah, we don't have enough to eat or take care of our family, and you think that you did the right thing." He said, "Honey, this is an investment. In the future, this gold bar, in 5 years, it could be worth $20,000. Won't that be great? $1,000 worth $20,000, will that not be great, honey?" She just sighed, and all she could think about was today and now. Well, you see, many people will give all they have to invest and to make more money, my dear sisters, to have the luxurious lifestyle that they so desire, the big houses, the nice cars, the nice furnitures. They have all of that. Are you willing to do that? Well, if I told you right now that all you needed to do was work hard these last 10 nights, inshallah, and that it was a big possibility for you, that all of your past sins would be forgiven, inshallah, and that you may have a residence in Jannah, inshallah, would it be worth it? 10 nights for a different lifestyle, for all of your sins forgiven, and possibly a house in Jannah from Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah, think about it, my dear sister. What little efforts are we putting in for a great deal of reward for eternity? For eternity. Now, don't lose out on the reward, my dear sisters. Do your best for these next 10 nights, inshallah, and inshallah, Allah will reward you. With that being said, Jazakallah khairan. And Sister Amira, I don't know if you want to open the floor for questions, just a few quick questions, inshallah, and then we can wrap it up, inshallah.